Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're now in the book of Matthew. This is chapter 2. There are 23 verses with commentary and translation. We'll probably be doing a lot of translating this evening and commentating as well. Then we also have part number 3 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I'm going to explain it, means that we have to be dead with Christ, we have to be buried in baptism with him. Dead with the Lord means that we're nailed to the cross, we have to deny ourselves and take up the cross, be nailed to the cross, and walk, follow the Lord. And then we can only do that when we're also, after being dead and buried, to be resurrected from our old dead life, the works, the old dead things that we used to do that didn't amount to anything but death. And then we have to be ascended with him into the heavenly places where he sits, and thereby be ruling with him. He's given us now the power, authority, to take power and authority to overthrow Satan's kingdom here on earth, by preaching the gospel, not in the way that the administration tries to take over the world, because they'll never fully take over the world at all, but to tell everyone that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit is living and working in and through us. And by the preaching of the gospel, if we're really baptized with the Holy Spirit, if we've received not only the inward anointing, which is salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the outward anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that gives us the power, or a lot of people call it grace, but it's actually power. With Jesus came power and truth. By the power of God, we're able to, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God, we're able to preach the word and teach the word and to do all the things that God commands us to do. And really, it's a labor of love. It isn't a laborious thing to just be obedient to what the scriptures say. The scriptures are very straightforward, and it's very easy to see it and follow directions. It's as easy to follow as the signs on the highway, even more easy. There's like a sign on the highway that says there's a curve up ahead and there's an arrow going to the left or to the right. And that's what's in the Word of God. It shows you to don't go this way and don't go that way, but to go straight on as my word, the Lord saith, tells you to do. And then the Lord never wanted us to be ruled by Satan or to be ruled by Satan's authority, but he wants us to take power, dominion, and authority for him in this kingdom, to overthrow by the preaching of the word, telling people that are aborting babies and telling people that are committing adultery and fornication, lesbianism and homosexuality, and lying and stealing and coveting people's things, or whatever it is, and telling people that don't keep the first two major commandments, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the person asks the Lord, well, who is my neighbor? And then he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, that no matter who it is that needs our help, or an encouraging word from the Bible, or that needs to be led to salvation, and that's everybody in the world. Amen?
Amen.
That's who our neighbor is because the Lord created us all out of the dirt of the ground, and even though we're not equal, because those that aren't saved, we all have our part. It's not the same part in the body of Christ, but we have our different position or level of authority in the body. And then also, those that are not saved don't have any power, dominion, or authority, but they're under the power of Satan. And that's what we've come to do. God has sent us into this world to bring people to their knees, to accept God, the only, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given all power and authority. All power, dominion, and wisdom belongs to Jesus. So without Jesus, God doesn't have any power or wisdom. All power and wisdom belongs to Christ. Christ is the wisdom, or in other words, the intelligence of how to become saved. He is intelligence for those that want to be saved. And who is this Jesus? The Bible says that he's the Word of God. So the Word of God is the intelligence of how to be saved, the wisdom, the intelligence, the understanding, the knowledge of how to be saved. And then we have to rule for the Lord. And in order for us to do that, to rule and reign for Christ, we have to also be involved in spiritual warfare. Now, spiritual warfare is what I'm doing right now, is spiritual warfare. I'm training the people of the world how to be involved in overthrowing Satan's government. Satan says the government is his, but he got this authority by a lie that he told Eve. Eve believed it, and so whosoever you believe is the one that's in authority. And so, in other words, in order to get God back into authority again, we must believe what he says in order to overthrow this satanic, wicked regime that you see in this world today. We have to believe God. And by our doing so, the Lord gives us power, dominion, and authority over everything in the world. And he also lets us reign forever with a rod of iron in the kingdom of God. And the rod of iron is the Word of God. So there isn't anything more stable than the Word of God, because it was by the Word of God that God created everything. God created the heavens, the earth, and all that are therein with his word. And he controls everything. The sun, we can know exactly when the sun is going to rise a year from now, and when it's going to set. And so he's showing us how organized and how wise. You can really count on the Lord's time clock, the way he set everything up. And so everything is all set that way. And now when people are getting so out of order, in the same manner as the world was out of order when God decided to drown everybody in the world except 8 souls, God is going to turn the universe crazy. He's going to show you what disorder is. Now, he's going to say for the past 7,000 years, everything's been in order. You could just count on the sun rising at a certain moment during the day, and it's setting at a certain hour or moment during the morning or the evening. And now he says, I'm going to let the stars start falling out of heaven. I'm going to send meteorites down on the earth because you people refuse to repent. I'm going to send disease on the earth. These are the great tribulations that God is causing, and false prophecies coming from the devil. Well, because you follow the devil, God is causing these things to happen on the earth, because you're following Satan rather than the Lord. You're afraid to take power, dominion, and rulership for God from the vantage point of the place, the heavenly place where Christ sits. And he says that we actually even have the power to cast Satan out of human bodies. And so therefore, that shows that God's power is far more powerful than the power of Satan. And that we can also lay hands on the sick and the afflicted, and they will recover, because the Lord has already healed us. And if we receive that by faith, you are immediately healed. And the Lord has also provided the baptism in the Holy Spirit for all those that want to have what they call grace, but which is really power. By the power of God, by the grace of God, by the power of God, we shall be able to do all things in Christ Jesus, because of the power that comes into our mortal bodies. He gives us permanent, everlasting life by entering us when we ask Him to, and if we desire to continue on in power, in faith. In faith, because the minute we lose faith, we're damned. It doesn't make any difference if you initially got saved. And you said, oh, yes, Lord, I believe you. I have faith. And you feel Him enter into your soul, or you don't feel Him, but you just accept Him by faith based on your belief in the Word of God, which is Christ. And then you go along for a few months or a year or 10 years or 20 or 50, 40 years like I have, 41, and then you decide, well, I put in my time, and I think, you know, the worldly people retire after so many years, and I think I'll retire. Then, if you decide to do that, everything that you've ever done for the Lord in the past that was good will be completely erased, and you'll be in more trouble than even the most vilest sinner out there, because they never knew the truth. And so any good thing that you've done, we must continue on in well-doing to the end, the Bible says, in well-doing. And what is well-doing? That's walking in the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit, the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which gives us the power, or the grace, the power, to do all the things on a daily basis, till the time that we give up our spirit, till the Lord takes our spirit on to be with Him. But if we don't, then we are considered to be the vile, most vile of sinners. And so, and then on top of this, we must fight spiritual warfare. And that's what I'm doing right now, by preaching these things to you and teaching them to you and telling you, people all over the world now, that you must believe the Word of God. You must believe Christ. Christ is the Word of God. Believe on the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe also the Word of God. Christ says, see, those that continue to the end shall be saved. Not those that start and then quit, or those that go up and down, up and down. It's those that continue in well-doing. Take up the cross, go and sin no more. Well, how can we stop from sinning more? By just getting filled with the Spirit, the inward anointing of the Lord, and the outward baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you shall receive power to continue on to the end once the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh one who I am not worthy to latch up, to lace up his shoes, that shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which is the fire, the power, the strength, the energy, the zeal, the intelligence, the wisdom for you to continue on in the Lord. So I know that you haven't heard too much of this kind of preaching before, but trust the Lord. Open His Word and check it out for yourself to see if what I'm telling you is the truth. I will not go to hell by lying to you. Why would I want to walk such a straight and narrow path? The Bible says, straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. But broad is the way and the gate to destruction. There's 150 zillion different ways that you can go to hell by just denying the Lord, by just not paying any attention to what He says, by thumbing your nose at Him in one way or the other, or just taking one of the vocations of this world instead of taking up the cross, denying yourself and following the Lord. Oh my, you know, people send people to university so they can have free sex in college, and they can date and have drunken parties and things like that. The Lord says, don't do that. Don't spend your money on that. Get involved with the Lord. Take up the cross. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, Sabbath. I'll give you Sabbath for your soul. I'll give you the power to where you can lay down that old worthless sinful life that you've been living, and I'll give you the power to continue on if you continue reading my word and getting the instructions from it. And he says, the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. If you keep reading it, even though you've read it before, you have to reprove yourself of it, because the human mind, remember, is only made out of dirt and water. You're about 93 to 97% water. And so that isn't very much to a bank. So you have to have the Spirit of God flowing through you on a daily basis. You have to keep reading the Word of God, which is Spirit and life, every day, so that you can continue on. Otherwise, you're going to get so weary that you're going to throw in the towel. If you don't read every day, and if you don't get that nourishment, the spiritual nourishment and the power from the Word of God, you're going to fall. You won't make it. You say, some people would say, well, I don't read as much as I should. As though that were an intelligent thing to say. For a person that really knows the Lord, you know that it seems like you're talking to an insane person when they say stuff like that. That's what I consider. I've written a piece of literature called Mass Suicide. That's like committing suicide, spiritual, eternal, everlasting suicide for your soul. Get into that word and stay there. It says, take care of your soul, guard it with all that you have, because it's your very permanent, everlasting, eternal life. Guard your soul. Read the word. Now, Father, we thank and praise your holy name. Oh, we pray, Lord, that you'll continue anointing with the outward anointing this the message, the word, the second chapter of Matthew, and also everything else that is that you have required that I do on this tape, such as the part three of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that we must all be in the church. And I'm not talking about the world church. That's the exact opposite of what you want, Father. But that we all become one in Christ Jesus, in the Word. The Word of God, not religion, but the Word, the Bible, the Word of God, the King James Version, the original Hellenic Greek, the original Hebrew and Aramaic writings of the Old and New Testament is what I'm saying. And rightly dividing the word, suffering, don't listen to, Lord, there's so many people are novices and they go out teaching. It's forbidden for novices to teach, because they're going to fall into the same pit of hell in the lake of fire as Satan. It says, suffer not a novice to teach, for they shall fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And the devil's condemned to hell. So those of you that are out there teaching, and you're not at least 10, 15, 17 years old in the Lord, as Paul was and I was, and you're teaching, you fall in the same condemnation. You'll get puffed up, and because people, and you'll start leading people astray, and that's why you'll wind up in the pit of hell. Now, Father, I ask that you'll give everyone the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that there is incorporated within everything on this tape. Anoint everything, Lord, even the letters that are going to be read. In the name of Jesus, and everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now, where's the first letter from, Jeannie?
India.
Okay, you want to go ahead and read it?
Yes. Dear world famous Pastor Tony Alamo in Christ.
Famous. Well, the Paul says we're famous and yet not known. Amen?
Amen.
We're famous, and also some of us are infamous. You know, some people consider us to be the worst, as Paul, the Apostle Paul, said. And as the Bible tells us, they said Jesus was evil too. But that's because we're overthrowing the evil one's kingdom. And who do you think it is that's saying we're evil? Would you think it's the Lord's people that says we're evil? Or would you think it's the devil's people?
The devil's people.
You're right. You win 10 silver dollars. Okay, no, I'm just teasing there, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I'll give you a Snickers candy bar. No. All right, then what?
Warmest greetings of love, power, and peace be to you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Brother, we are devotees of our Lord, who are carrying on his service in India since 8 years. We felt very happy reading your literature by the name Dry Bones, and found it of immense value for each and every Christian.
That is one of my testimonial tracts, how I got saved. Also, another one of them is The Signs of the Times. Okay, then what else?
We are explaining its contents to many people. Many persons, nearly about 200, changed and were saved into our Lord's power and were ready to take baptism. We wish that the Lord will spread his word among many people in this end time through this literature, Dry Bones. Many believers were inspired by his glory and were able to gain their faith again. We pray to our Lord that he must use yourself in this end time in India also. We were astonished by the literature and were thinking that if the words in this literature are so impressive, what will be the position of the public if you visit India and convey your great messages face to face in India?
Well, if the Lord, I just pray that the Lord does allow me to go there, because it seems like the people in India and Africa are listening to the gospel more than the people here in the United States. The real gospel. You teach the real gospel over here in the United States, and there's many people that are believing it, but there's a lot of animosity and hatred towards it as well. Okay, but then what? But boy, the people in Africa and India, they're just receiving it, just drinking the gospel up. Okay, then what?
We are also very eager to work with you in the great work of saving the perishing souls towards our Lord. We are continuing our gospel with tears on faith line. We remember in our daily prayers that we must proceed in our gospel through your esteemed guidance and cooperation and help. By reading your literature, we remember the words of St. Paul in Colossians 1:28, quote, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, unquote.
Yes, we must be perfect. The Bible says so. And there's people saying, well, of course, we're not perfect, and no one is. Why, anybody that's saying that, know right now that that's the devil, because we all become perfect in Christ Jesus. We all become perfect when we're in the law, when we observe the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And because of the fact that we're perfect, the Bible says, therefore there is no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, but after the Spirit, saith the Lord. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you, in the eyes of God, maybe not people for sure, but people, you're not going to have to stand before people at the judgment bar of God. You're going to have to stand before the Lord. And the Lord says, if you're walking after the Spirit, you're perfect. So be of good cheer, brothers and sisters. God's power is powerful enough. God's Spirit, his word, his Spirit and life is powerful enough to keep you walking perfect. Okay, you might make mistakes, but still, in the eyes of, I'm not talking about you're going to sin, but I'm talking about mistakes. But you, it's still, in the eyes of God, are perfect. So we have to walk according to God's standards, not by man's judgment, but by the judgment of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
We are reading this literature with utmost faith that every person who learns your words will stand before our Lord as a perfect man. We pray and request you that if you accord your permission, we wish to work in India under the banner of Alamo Christian Ministries.
Well, brother, you certainly, I can tell that I feel the Spirit in your words, and you certainly have my permission and the Lord's permission to do just that, to let the banner of this church, which is founded by the Lord Jesus Christ, fly high over your gathering. Then what?
If possible, please pray for sending 100 Bibles in Telugu to our ministry.
We don't have to pray anymore, brother. I've already prayed about that. You're going to get those Bibles. And Mr. Sweat, Brother Sweat, and Johnson, Brother Johnson, you brothers and people in the mail room, and Brother Jack in the print shop and all that, make sure that these brethren receive all the things that they request immediately. Thank you. Then what?
Please continue to pray for me, my family, and ministry, as I am praying for you, your health, good family, and great ministry in my daily prayers. Awaiting your early favorable compliance, yours in him, Pastor D.E. Tadapalligudam, India.
We probably pronounced that wrong, but, you know, they know who we we all know that they're brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
That's the main thing. And we have their address, and the mailman knows how to pronounce it. And they do. Okay, and then what's the next letter, please? That was very good, wasn't that, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Amen. All right, then what's the next, where's the next letter from? Africa?
Yes.
Okay, what part of Africa?
Zambia.
Okay, then what?
Dear beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, we are very happy to write this letter to you. We are very much glad that everything is good with you. Well, Pastor, we are thanking you for what you have done all over the world. You have done a good job. We have received your gospel books, which you sent to us. We are asking you to send us some more books about the Messiah, and we are even asking you to send us many kinds of books. We want to learn about the Word of God. Send us many more books every month because your teaching has attracted many more people here in Africa. We are even going to build a church if you are going to encourage us. Well, Pastor, there are so many people who are willing to join in your church. Will you send us some Bibles because we need Bibles?
Immediately. Then what?
We remain here waiting to hear from you. Greetings from your friends in Christ, FN from Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now here's just a little idea of how secular government works and how people that are in secular government have to, if they want to get elected, they have to appeal to every special interest group, like Arnold Schwarzenegger here does with the homosexuals and lesbians. And this is the same way with President Bush. Everybody, you either got to be a friend of the Lord. If you're a friend of the world, you're no friend of the Lord. And I pray that those of you that are friends of the world will turn your back on the world and turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be saved. I'm not doing this to harm Governor Schwarzenegger at all, or President Bush, or any other person. I'm trying to win their souls by using godly spiritual logic. So let's read this article here. Where did this come from?
Avenue of Light.
Website?
Yes.
Does it have a website number?
Yes, avenueoflight.com.
Avenue of Light, L-I-G-H-T?
Yes.
Okay, .com. Okay, go ahead and read it, please.
Convicted pedophiles part of Arnold endorsed event. Governor praises, quote, gay pride, unquote, festival that has sex offenders as volunteers.
Tell you, that won't do you any good before the judgment bar of God, Arnold. I pumped iron for a lot of years, too, when I was the executive vice president of the American Health Studios in Celebrate Figure Form, the world's largest chain of health spas. And I also have a part in the Muscle Beach Health Club today. And I pumped iron, but, you know, just because a bunch of people endorse you, you better be more concerned about God endorsing you than people. Because eventually, Arnold, you've already had, from what I understand, bypass surgery. You could have very well died then and gone before the Lord. And you're involved with these Catholic, and you're very much Catholic, Kennedys. As a matter of fact, you married one of them. And they're not going to do you any good. You've got to get into the gospel and get yourself born of the Spirit, or else you can nowise enter the kingdom of God. Now, let's finish up. I want you to know that you're doing wrong, and most people just don't have the chutzpah to tell you, but do you know me? I'm sure you know me very well, so I'm going to let you know that you better get right. You better start listening to the Lord and be more interested in impressing him than people, than homosexuals. You have to choose God or homosexuals. You have to give this garbage up, what you're doing here, and turn to the Lord. Because you're not, the homosexuals are not going to judge you. God is, and he despises homosexuals. the sin of homosexuality. He doesn't want you endorsing that, or anybody else for that matter. Okay, go ahead and read it.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is taking heat on the internet for endorsing San Diego's, quote, gay pride, unquote, celebration.
You know, they're not gay. They're actually crying. They're so possessed with the devil that they're crying out. They don't know how to be loose from it. And that the reason for it is so many preachers, they condemn them, and they are already condemned. We don't, as preachers, need to condemn them. We need to lead them to the Lord, because if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ and get away from that horrible sin, they will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, and then go ahead.
Slated late for later this month, with critics pointing out two of the men helping to stage the event are convicted pedophiles. In his letter of greeting to all who will gather July 29th for the homosexual-themed parade and festival, Schwarzenegger writes, quote, I am pleased to extend warm greetings to all who have gathered for this year's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender pride celebration.
And the Lord tells us not to even give, say Godspeed to anybody like that, or to even welcome them, or to even have anything to do with them. And boy, you've got a lot of, not much brains, Arnold, but you've got a lot of guts. And, you know, people have a lot of guts. But that won't help you before the judgment bar of God, because God will definitely condemn you for this sort of thing if you don't stop it immediately. I know you want votes, but you better want eternal life more than you want votes, and that goes for all you other people that are standing up for these reprobates. Preach the gospel to them if you love them. Don't be endorsing them and saying, welcome. They're welcome to come into my church if they conduct themselves fine so they can hear the gospel. But I certainly don't welcome them to hold some kind of a parade exalting their horrible, degenerate, condemned, ungodly sins. Okay, then what?
California is proud to host events that celebrate diversity.
Not all of us in California are proud to host that. That's you, Governor Schwarzenegger. And, you know, your homosexual constituents. Okay, then what else? Don't say, I'm in California, and we don't, we Christians don't welcome them or are proud of them at all. Then what else?
I applaud your efforts to foster ties within your community and to promote cultural and social acceptance in our golden state.
Homosexuality is cultural, that he wants that kind of culture promoted? To turn your sons and daughters into homosexuals and lesbians? At least there's some voice here crying out in the wilderness against this. And this is, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I've come here to overthrow such thinking, because I'm preaching the word of God, which the Lord says, now repent and get saved so you don't go to hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Your efforts serve to raise awareness and advocate civil rights for all individuals, regardless of sexual orientation, unquote.
Well, no, there's only one sexual, well, there's a male and female, and that's it. There's no such other thing without being condemned. I believe in mixed marriages. Men and women will always make it, if you want to call that a mixed marriage. Okay? If men and women, that's what God created man and woman for, was for marriage. He didn't create, and everybody knows that, I believe, any other sexual or any deviance in that way that God set up humanity. All right, then what else?
Well, this was not the first time the governor has commended a homosexual event in the Golden State. It is the presence of two convicted pedophiles on the event's volunteer staff that has traditional values advocates upset. On page 47 and 48 of the, quote, gay pride, unquote, events program, which is viewable online, two members of the staff are listed, both of whom also appear on California's Megan's Law website as convicted pedophiles.
You just look at the different people that the administration are hiring. President Bush and his father have appointed Nazi war criminals as their counselors. I mean, it is the most vile world. A world gone mad. This is, according to the Word of God, this is insanity and mass suicide. It's like sending your souls to hell. Arnold, President Bush, and former President Bush, and former President Clinton, wake up! You know, I was once told that people that have become President of the United States have to be very stupid to take such orders like these from the Pope, from the One World cult and the One World government and the United Council of Churches. You'd have to be really extra stupid or just literally possessed with the devil to go along with such things as this. If you just read the Bible, then you'll see how very satanic, how satanic the things are that you're doing. Okay? Then what?
Warren Patrick Derek Schweiler was convicted of, quote, lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14 years with force, unquote, according to the government website.
And well, you know, now, outside of marriage and also homosexuality, this is horrible. But I know that people that I've known, older folks and so on, and also in the Bible it tells of people that were married, women that were married when they reached puberty, which is 13, 14 years old. And in the Middle East, Mary was around 12, 13, 14 when she had Jesus. And really, that's the world government is coming up with that that's supposed to be real wrong. But my grandmother was married when she was around 12, 13 years old. She had 10 children. And she had many grandchildren as well. And there are literally millions of women that were married at a younger age like that, rather than to become a whore, prostitutes, and promiscuous, as most of the young girls are today. They should be married and raised to have children. And that's what the Bible says, and people are trying to make that evil. Just as the Bible says, in the latter days they will make that which is evil good, and that which is good evil. And that's what's happening. Now, the administration is endorsing homosexuality, but they condemn marriage. And they're actually even handing out condoms, and everybody knows that, to the little kids in school. They're committing fornication at ages 8, 9, 10, even 6 years old, we've heard of that in schools. 11, 12, and yet they will condemn somebody. The Bible condemns them too to be having fornication or raping kids and things like that. But a man is considered, in the Hebrew, a woman is a woman when she reaches puberty, and a man is a man when he reaches puberty too. And if they're capable of supporting a family, they are eligible to be married. Even some of the states in the United States today still have laws on the books where they can be married if their parents approve that at a younger age. But what this article is talking about is somebody that's just literally raped some child or somebody at 14 years old. And that is wrong, and homosexuality is wrong, and fornication is wrong, and adultery is wrong, but marriage is honorable to all men. It must be honorable to all men, except this satanic, Roman Catholic, homosexual regime. The reason that the Vatican is causing this homosexual freedom to exist is because so many of them, including Pope John Paul II, was homosexual, and also he was a child molester in Krakow, Poland. They, you may be offended at this, but this is fact, and he even admitted that he was accused of these things and that it happened. They had daycare centers in Krakow, Poland, when Pope John Paul II was a priest. And the people that worked in these big factories over there would throw oily rags at him as he was walking outside, because the children were all accusing him of molesting these little babes, 4, 5, and 6-year-old little kids, and 7, 8, and 9, 10-year-old kids were reporting them to the parents. Parents didn't want him to come around. And then on top of that, he gassed and made the gas for IG Farben in World War II at Krakow, Poland, at this Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland, made the cyanide gas to murder 6 million of my kinsmen, the Jews. And this is why they condone abortion and homosexuality, is because they do those things. And what they're doing now is causing the United States, or using the United States, to destroy different countries and the leaders of them, and putting Catholic leaders in, because the people that are in the White House are committed to the Vatican to win the world for Catholicism, for one religion, and that religion is Roman Catholic Antichrist regime. The Bible says that the city where the seven hills are is the place where the Antichrist sits, where the devil sits. And that city of the seven hills, or the seven mountains, is called Rome. And that's where the Vatican sits. And there isn't another church in the world that even comes close to the description that the Lord gives of the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist regime, than the Vatican, the Roman Catholic cult. And they have, if you do a search on all these different judges, you'll find out that they're all Roman Catholic. You do a search on all the different presidents for years now, for many, many years, you'll find that they were all Roman Catholic or Roman Catholic sympathizers. They said that they were Quakers and all other things, but they had to obey the Roman Catholic cult, or they would be assassinated. Even when President Kennedy decided to not let Cardinal Spellman in the front door of the White House, he had to come through the back, and because of the fact that he, a lot of people try to make it look as though it was the mafia or the people with the unions that killed him, but it was because of the fact that he got so big that he got big-headed and he stopped listening to the instructions of the Vatican. He pulled out of Cuba, and he pulled out of other countries when they wanted him to stay there. And they said, listen, mister, you're getting too big for your boots. I know this from a contact that I had in the Vatican. And they told me all these things. And they said, you're getting too big for your boots. You got to go. And so they put a bullet through his head. One through his head and other places in his body. Okay, because they don't like Roman Catholics that double-cross them and don't do what the Pope and the Black Pope tells them to do. Okay, let's continue on with this Arnold Schwarzenegger pro-homosexual. You'd think a guy that pumps iron would be macho, you know, and condemn homosexuality and be godly, you know, because God gives you the body and gives you the actual phenomenon that if you push weights, you're going to get big and strong. But no, here he is endorsing Antichrist doctrine of his Catholic Vatican affiliation. Go ahead.
And Daniel Reiger is listed as having committed, quote, oral copulation with a person under 16 years, unquote.
Well, so it would be legal if it was over 16 years old, right? Oral copulation. Oh, I see. Unmarried and everything. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Then what?
There is simply no excuse for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to honor an event that is using dangerous pedophiles, stated the James Heartland Report email newsletter, which first discovered the background of Derek Schweiler and Reiger. The same newsletter pointed out that that at the San Diego event, young people will be exposed to a multitude of pornographic images and S&M leather products as they walk around the Gay Pride Festival.
Yes, sadomasochism leather products. S&M. That's not M&M. That's S&M. Sadomasochism, where they tie people up and they wear leather and masks and everything and beat each other. That's really... Isn't that magnanimous? Isn't that wonderful for a governor and presidents of the United States of America to be doing and condorsing such evil as this? Okay, then what?
Freelance reporter Allison Smith is based in San Diego, says a staffer for the governor told her the chief executive, quote, supports gay and lesbian rights and that he does not have time to check out the backgrounds of every single person involved with every pride event in the state of California, unquote.
Oh, so he doesn't have a staff? Well, then, you know, I won't endorse anything. I'm easily busier than he is, and I won't endorse anything until I thoroughly check it out. We don't need governors or presidents that say, well, we don't have time to check everything out that we endorse. What kind of a governor? A governor is someone that is at the controls. And so whoever this Weisenheimer is that said this, I mean, do you really, Arnold Schwarzenegger, want that kind of a testimonial that you don't have time to check out things that you endorse? In other words, we're supposed to not really take for granted the words when you said that you're happy to endorse these homosexuals, that we're not to believe what you're saying? Is that what it is? Are you speaking out of two mouths, two tongues? The comedians say that you don't speak well in the first place, but let's get it straight. I mean, issue some kind of a statement on that, please, that you don't know what you're saying. Is that what you're saying? And you people out there that endorse Arnold Schwarzenegger, is that what you want as a governor that doesn't know what he's endorsing? I would rather see him back pumping iron. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Said Smith, quote, I told the staff member it is reprehensible that Schwarzenegger, a professed Catholic and so-called Republican, would put the special rights of perverts above the protection of innocent children, unquote. WND was unable to reach a Schwarzenegger spokesperson by press time.
He wasn't available. He's available to endorse the homosexuals, but not available to answer these accusations. Which means he's just saying, no, we don't want to answer it. Just tell them I'm too busy. I'm not available. I'm not available. Okay, then what else?
That was it.
That's it? Okay. Okay, word to the wise. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And I'm not saying this to run these people down, even though it does run them down. I'm just doing it hopefully that they'll get convicted. Which I feel, I don't know, I can't judge the dude to find out whether he's going to accept what the Lord says or not, but it's to his own hurt if he doesn't, because he's already had bypass surgery and everything, and he's not going to live forever, and he's so interested in glory or something, I don't know, to impress people. Maybe that's why he worked out so very hard to impress people with his body. But you better get more, the people don't respect your brains, but you should get into a position with the Lord where people start respecting you for the stand that you make for the Lord, that you people respect you for your spirit, that you have a clean spirit, and that a spirit that serves the Lord. Okay, well, so much for that. Now, chapter 2 of Matthew. Let's read strictly the, because we've taken some time here, the translation, okay?
Okay. The wise men paid Jesus a visit. Verse 1. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem.
Now, wise men means the people that fear God, because The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wiseness or wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is wisdom. It's obvious that Arnold Schwarzenegger does not yet fear the Lord. Hopefully he will. And that President Bush does not yet fear the Lord. Or his dad, and many billions of people don't fear the Lord. But the whole duty, all that we're supposed to do is fear God and keep his commandments. Okay, then what?
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. Verse 2, asking, quote, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him," unquote. Verse 3, Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. Verse 4, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. Quote, "Where did the prophet say Messiah would be born?" unquote, he asked them. Verse 5, quote, "In Bethlehem," unquote, they said. Quote, "For this is what the prophets wrote." Verse 6, quote, "O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel," unquote. Verse 7, then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come see him. At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Verse 8, then he told them, quote, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too," exclamation point, unquote. Verse 9, after this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy, exclamation mark. Verse 11, they entered the house where the child and his mother, Mary, were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Now, a lot of people might say, well, you know, stars are like, some of them are bigger than the world. But it doesn't say the size of the star. There's stars that people put on people's report cards. They're little tiny stars, amen?
Amen.
And so it could be that it would be just the size of maybe a basketball, or maybe the size of a washer tub or something, that it's, they're just following this star and then it settles right. Did you ever think about it that way? Because it doesn't say, it just said a star. The Bible also states that stars are angels. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't think of it as one of the big stars up in the sky and settled over where the Lord was born, but it was maybe the size of a house or a small trailer or an automobile or something like that. Think about it that way. Amen?
Amen.
Because God can manifest an angel and that's just the size of a human being. And so it could be this star was about the size of a human. And they followed it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
First,
Lord made me say that so I know that's what it was. All right, then what else?
Verse 12, but when it was time to leave, they went home another way because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The escape to Egypt. Verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, quote, "Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," unquote.
Well, what's so important about this child that you have to keep fleeing from one place to the other? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And the stars settles right where he is, and these wise men, and they know that the Bible says that the Messiah must be born the exact day that the prophet said that he would be born, and that he would die the exact day that the Messiah would die. And so these wise men, the ones that feared God, searched the scriptures because they knew that the Messiah was coming, and they found out that it's the exact time, and here was that star. And so this is, you know, people that really fear the Lord. And even the reprobate Pharisees, they knew when he was going to be born, but they cared so little. They cared about being educated and knowing the scriptures, but they didn't care. They were worried about the wrong thing. They should have been wanting to go and worship the Lord. And the Bible stated, and they knew that he'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea on the exact day. And anyone that would be born before that day or after that day would be a false Christ. Anyone that would die before that time, 33 and a half years old, and after that time would be a false Christ. The Messiah must be born and die on an exact day. And Jesus Christ was the only one in the whole world, in the whole universe, that was born on the day that the Messiah was supposed to be born and died on the very day that the Messiah was supposed to be killed. And that he was killed in the manner that the Bible said that he would be killed, that he'd have nail-pierced hands and feet, he'd be hung on a tree, and that he'd be pierced in the side, sold for 30 pieces of silver. And there are 333 other prophecies that tell of the Messiah, and I've written a book outlining every one of those scriptures and making it easy for you, condensing the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. And it's yours absolutely free if you'd like one. And it comes in a variety of languages. Now, we've done it in Polish, Spanish, French, of course, English, and Italian, Greek, you name it. The different dialects in India, Germany, Romanian. I just don't have all the books here. There's a whole array of different languages that we've done that in. Okay, and then just order it. It's yours, free. Then what?
The angel said, quote, "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child," unquote.
That's why it's so important, because this is the Messiah. This is God himself, the Word of God that came into the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word came into this world as a man and showed us exactly the character of God, that he doesn't put up with sin, that he didn't come to destroy the law, that he came to fulfill it, and came to fill us with himself and his Father and the Holy Spirit after he ascended up into the kingdom of heaven, to all of us that want to have this power, the living God himself with Christ, and the Christ with the Father by the Spirit to live in us. And it's yours, free of charge, salvation, freely given, eternity in heaven, if you'll just receive the Lord now. Ask him to come into your heart, wash you of all your former sins in the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for you. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of the blood. And that's why Jews, they don't have burnt sacrifices now for 2,000 years. And they're all in their sins. And why? Because they reject the true sacrifice that all the burnt sacrifices were pointing to in the Old Testament. And now if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, he'll apply his blood by faith unto their souls, and they will be saved. And the Lord wants you to do that, you Jewish people, and you Gentiles too. He wants you. We all become spiritual Israelites when we accept Christ into us, into our spirits, and he gives us his permanent, everlasting, eternal life when we do that. Okay, then what?
Verse 14. That night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. Verse 15. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, quote, "I called my son out of Egypt," unquote. Verse 16. Herod was furious when he learned that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, because the wise men had told him the star first appeared to them about 2 years earlier. Verse 17. Herod's brutal action fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah. Verse 18. Quote, A cry of anguish is heard in Ramah, weeping and mourning, unrestrained. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Unquote. The return to Nazareth, verse 19. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and told him, verse 20, quote, get up and take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. Unquote. Verse 21. So Joseph returned immediately to Israel with Jesus and his mother. Verse 22. But when he learned that the new ruler was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid. Then in another dream, he was warned to go to Galilee. Verse 23. So they went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets concerning the Messiah. Quote, he will be called a Nazarene. Unquote.
Praise the Lord. When I used to read the Bible before I went to Israel, I always used to picture Bethlehem, you know, some little small village in the valley, when in reality it's high on the ridge of a mountain. You can look down, there's like a huge drop-off there. And Nazareth is also on top of a mountain. It's quite a ways from Bethlehem, a couple hundred miles, I guess. And I love it primarily in Nazareth, and I love Israel. I love Jerusalem, and I love Tiberias and Capernaum, which is the city of Jesus. Okay, so now we have commentary.
Chapter 2, verses 3 through 8 and 12 through 18. King Herod was a tyrant. He could charm and manipulate others to achieve his ends. Herod thought he could get information about the identity and whereabouts of the Messiah from the wise men by feigning interest in and a desire to worship him. Many times abusive or oppressive personalities will, quote, play along with you, unquote, in the earliest stages of you being molded into the likeness and image of the Lord, hoping to crush any resistance to your domination later. We need to be careful to avoid such people, as did the wise men and Joseph. About Joseph and Mary. Trials can be rebuilt when it has been broken. Joseph did not trust Mary after he found that she was pregnant. But this does not happen automatically. Such a process takes work and commitment, especially when a relationship has been threatened by unfaithfulness. This was the challenge that Joseph and Mary faced. Months before their planned wedding, Mary became pregnant. Because Joseph knew that this was not his child, he assumed that she had been unfaithful, that she had committed adultery on him. So he was troubled by these doubts and anger. He knew what the law said, and he chose to not only break off the engagement, but put her to death, to put her away, to cut her off, as the Bible says. But some false prophets say that he just wanted to break off the engagement inconspicuously as possible. He was a man of God. He was full of integrity, and in mercy he wanted to show the people around Israel that he wanted to keep the law. So he was going to put her away, all right. Some false prophets say, well, he didn't want to hurt her because he was a man of mercy. This is ridiculous.
Mercy is the keeping of God's commandments. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. What mercy is it to show you're so weak that you wouldn't obey the Almighty Living God? When you, for instance, when you have the death penalty, people will stop committing adultery. If there was a death penalty today, and it still is, but people just don't observe it. The secular law doesn't do it. Yeah, we don't either. We just put them out of the church. But people would stop committing adultery. People would stop aborting children if they knew that they were to be put to death for murder, first-degree murder, for murdering little innocent children. Saw a picture of this doctor cutting into a little baby's brain, and the little baby inside the womb had a hold of the doctor's wrist, trying to push his wrist away. That was the most pitiful picture, and to think that people could be so cruel. What this is Vatican, Nazi, They just don't want any more people in the world. They say there's enough poets, we have enough politicians, we've got enough musicians, we've got enough of everything, and so we just want to put zero birth in the country as much as possible, because there just won't be enough food, which is a lie. God has provided more food. The government throws away more food and pays billions of dollars for people to not, for farmers to not plant food. Everything is, that the Antichrist government is doing is a sham. And even the people in government, some of them are resigning because they know that it's a sham. When I was put in prison for false charges, on false charges for the gospel's sake, they dump hundreds of millions of pounds of food rather than to give it to the poor and the needy. And all the people in prison are just, even the criminals, hardened criminals, said, this is just horrible. My family out there is starving to death because they put me in here. And I'm not saying that they don't belong in there. Some people do belong in prison. But they could, at least, the families didn't do anything wrong. And they should be given the food. For instance, on Thanksgiving, they gave everybody a big amount of turkey. And then they also gave them great big turkey drumsticks. Well, nobody could eat it, and we wanted to take it to ourselves. And so they said, nope. And everybody had to throw that great big, huge, beautiful drumstick, weighed about a pound or pound and a half, into the garbage. They made us do it. And they just dumped it into the city dump. And, oh, this hundreds of millions of pounds every year. Okay, keep going.
Quote, he didn't want to embarrass her, unquote. No, that wasn't the case at all. He wanted to put her to death as God commanded. God had other plans, however. He sent an angel to speak to Joseph and assured him that Mary's baby had been supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit. The child's name would be called Jesus, and he would be the Savior of the world, the one who would offer spiritual recovery to everyone, who would give salvation to everyone that would receive him. Because that
Joseph... And who is him? Him is the Word of God. If you receive the whole Word of God, you have salvation. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Because that Joseph believed God, his perspective was completely changed. Mary and Joseph's mutual commitment to and trust in God served as the foundation upon which their trust in each other could be reestablished. If Joseph wasn't willing to put her to death, then God would have taken his life. Mary and Joseph humbly and joyfully entered a new life together. Joseph did all that the Lord commanded him to do to protect Mary and the baby Jesus. When he was born, he became a loving father who carefully taught the son that he was given charge of the carpentry trade. Mary was an attentive and caring mother. This relationship demonstrates that it is possible to reveal trust and repair love in relationships that seem to be at one time very, very volatile. The story of Joseph and Mary is told in the Gospels, notably in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. Mary is also mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14.
All right, and that now we have growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, part 3.
So concerning being full of the stature of Christ, you must first realize that no one can attain to this level of indwelling as an individual member of the body of Christ. You must be part of the body of Christ. This experience is attained only in the body.
Or in the church. The church is the body. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the body of Christ. If you're in a full gospel church and you're living according to the Word, then you must be experiencing the church life in order to be part of the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what?
You can't do it individually. You've got to be part of the church, the temple of God, the New Jerusalem. It's not one person. You cannot become a heretic as the Pope, who says he's the only one.
That he's the vicar of Christ, the only representative of Christ on earth. That is so heretical that it's unbelievable. The Bible says that his body is many millions of members, and that it's a whole building of people, and that we all become representatives of Christ because we allow Christ to live his life in us and out of us. We allow him to live his life out in us and through us. In other words, we become the millions of us become the incarnation of Christ, so long as we keep ourselves humble and just stick to the Word. We never condemn the Word as the Pope did. We never tell people that it's dangerous to read the Word, because we tell them that it's dangerous if you don't read the Word. And we never settle for a missal or some little small portion of the Word, or chanting, or praying to anyone other than God through the one and only mediator to Christ, which is Christ Jesus. The Bible says there's one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Mary is not mentioned at all in such a, and they're trying to deify her, or they act as though she's deity. And this is so heretical. It's like, it angers the Lord to no end. And this is why the Pope was going around with his head bowed down looking at his shoes the last few weeks of his life or death here on earth. And he was breathing through a tube in his neck, and he was so jacked up. It was just unbelievable because of his saying these evil, false, horrible things. Then what?
It is entirely an experience which is being in the body. Not only is it impossible for anyone to experience being full of the stature of the fullness of Christ outside of the body, but practically speaking, even in the body, no one can be full of the stature of Christ individually either. To be full of the stature of Christ is a matter of the entire corporate body. Therefore, only the corporate body of Christ can be full of the stature of Christ.
That should be a word to the wise. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's what the body says, that there's only one building, there's only one body, there's only one Spirit, only one Lord, only one God. And God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And we are all one people. We become one in Christ Jesus. Just one. Uno. Okay? In German, eins. Just eins. All right? Okay, so this, until tomorrow, this is Pastor Tony Alamo reading through the Bible. Until tomorrow, chapter 3 of Matthew and part 4 of receiving, getting into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ. Keep meditating on these things. Read the Word. Receive the power that the Word gives you. The power of God. The Spirit of God. The life of God. God bless you, and praise the Lord.